Take our lesson this morning from the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 15. We had a reading earlier, Luke chapter 15, verse 1 through verse 10. We're going to pick up in that reading at verse 11. It's in the same context. In this particular context, Jesus spoke a parable. He actually spoke three. First, he spoke the parable of the lost sheep, then the parable of the lost coin, and then in our text, the parable of the lost son, or the prodigal son. Luke 15 and verse 11. Then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a famine, a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. A parable is a short story that teaches a moral or spiritual lesson, according to Webster. According to those who define our Greek words for us in the New Testament, they define the word parable, mentioned in our text in Luke 15 and verse 3, as that which brings about a comparison of one thing with another. They say it is a narrative that is agreeable to the laws and usages of human life, by which either the duties of men or the things of God are figuratively portrayed. And so this parable that we have regarding the lost son regards not only the duties of men, but also it also speaks about the nature of God himself in relation to man and his sin. I want to spend a little time with you this morning on this parable of the lost son, sometimes referred to as the prodigal son. The first thing we notice about this man is that he simply rebelled against his father. Now, the father, of course, in this, since this is a parable, this is a story that is common usage in human life. A story or a narrative might be told to make a comparison, and that's what's being done here. The lost son represents all men who are lost, who go away from God, their father. And so the father, you might say, represents God in this text. So when we look at this, we're not just looking at a narrative or a story and an account of something that may or may not have happened. No, it is something that actually happens in the lives of many people time and time again. So let's look at this. First of all, he rebelled in Luke 15 and in verse 11. And then he said, Jesus said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. So he rebelled against his father. In other words, he rebelled against God. Here a young man is, his father's not dead yet, but he wants his inheritance. Now during this particular period of time, this father had two sons. The youngest son goes to his father and asks for his inheritance. Well, the father could have said, well, wait till I die and you'll get your inheritance. But the father does what God does to us. God lets us have our way, does he not? He lets us have our way. Our way is we want it now. So God gives us what we want, whether it's good for us or not. So God gave him his desire, as the father gave the young son his desire on this occasion. But as God, as Brother Tommy mentioned a few moments ago, all that we possess and all that we have and all that we've acquired and all that we ever hope to have comes from God. He's the giver of these gifts. He's the giver of the grace and mercy in our life. Everything that we have comes from God. Everything this young man had came from his father. But what did this young man do with that which came from the father? He went into a far country. The younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country. Is that not what we do? We go away from God. We go away from God. We fill ourselves with our desires. We gratify ourselves and our desires and our lusts and bodies, inclinations of the flesh. We go away from God. We go as far away as we can because we think if we're far away from God, he doesn't know what we're doing. We think if we're far away from God, we can do what we want to do. God's going to allow us to do what we want to do anyway, whether it's for our good or for our benefit or for our harm. This young man journeys to a far country, and there he wasted his possessions with prodigal living, with wasteful living, some versions say, with extravagant living. I like the word reckless living, because what does it describe? It describes a life which ends in a wreck. Everybody who does this to God, who goes away from God, spends all that God has given him, his talents, his wealth, his family, his friends, all that God has given him, wastes it all. It brings about ruin and wreck to their lives. That's what it does. It describes every one of us at one time in our life. It's the typical fact of sin in one's life. Isaiah 53 and in verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way. That's what this young man did. Turn to his own way. I want to do it my way. Let me have my inheritance now. Let me have my possessions now. And what do? God gives us all that we desire, all that we need, and we waste it in reckless living. We bring about a wrecked life in the end. The rebellion, of course, is sin. It is iniquity. Isaiah 59 and verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, but it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities, your sins have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear. Romans 3 and verse 23, all have sinned. We've all done this before. We've all turned our back on God. We've all forsaken him at some time or another in our life. We've all gone away to that foreign country, and we've all wrecked our lives. We brought about that wreck in our lives by sin. We simply become guilty because we transgress the will of God. 1 John 3 and in verse 4, whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. Sin is a transgression of law, the King James Version says. Transgression of law means that it is lawlessness. We simply disregard God's law, God's instruction, God's word in our life. We want to do it our way. That's what sin is. 1 John 5 and in verse 17, all unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not leading to death. That is the sin that is repented of. We notice not only did this man rebel against his father, but he also reached bottom. He reached bottom, which was necessary. Luke 15 and verse 14, but when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into those fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. Note that. when he had spent all, when he had wasted all that God had given him in life, when he had wrecked his life, he arose in a severe famine in that land and he began to be in want. He wants something now. Well, who gave him what he had to begin with? God did. And when we reach bottom in our life, when we've wrecked our lives with sin, there's something we want. We want out of it. Sometimes we pray that people will come to their senses and see the condition they've gotten themselves in. Perhaps we ought to pray that they reach bottom so they'll do that. Because sometimes that's what it requires. Sometimes people have to reach the very depth of sin before they recognize and realize what a wreck and ruined life they now have because of it. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. Joined himself, it's a Greek word that has reference to glued himself to. The citizen of that country, remember it's a far away country, he's a Jew. He goes to a Gentile country, evidently, joins himself to a Gentile, something a Jew would never do because Gentiles were considered unclean. And he sent him into the fields to feed swine, something that Jews would never do. Gentiles were unclean to the Jews. Pigs were unclean to the Jews. But this is what a wrecked life brings you. This is what you come to in life. You do all of those things that you've once looked upon as very degrading in life. And you say, well, I would never do that. Don't say you'll never do it. Because when you leave God, when you forsake God and go away into sin, you'll do some things you thought you would never do. It only begins with one sin. You sin and you keep on sinning and you'll do some things you thought you would never do. That brings about a reaching of the bottom. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. Why? Because all that we have comes from God. Oh, we might get some handouts here or there from people. But the true things that matter in life only come from your Father. That is, come from God. That's what really matters. No one else really cares about you. Note this. He's starving to death. He could have just eaten the feed that the hogs were eating. But no one gave him anything. No one cared about him. Only his Father did. Only his God cared about him. Sin brings us very, very low. Some old preacher, and I don't know who it was that said it, but this statement has been around for a long, long time, many years. Someone once said, sin will take you further than you want to go, and it will keep you longer than you want to stay, and it will cost you more than you want to pay. And how true that is. Sin will take you further than you want to go. I didn't intend to go that far. I didn't intend to commit adultery. You went that far. I didn't intend to become a drunk. You became a drunk. You went that far. I didn't intend to get hooked on these drugs. You went that far. I didn't intend to abuse my family. You went that far. Sin will always take you further than you want to go. When you move away from God, that's what happens in your life. And it will keep you longer than you want to stay. You don't want to stay in that condition. You don't want to stay in the condition that this young man found himself in, but it's going to keep you there as long as you resist the presence of God in your life. Yeah. Not only did this man rebel against his father, not only did he reach bottom, but he repented. The text tells us in Luke 15 and verse 17, but when he came to himself, evidently, this life had become so bad it shocked him to reality. And so he comes to himself. But that's it. Him coming to himself is not repentance. But he comes to himself. He has to come to a proper frame of mind in order to change his mind and then resolve to do something about the situation he's gotten himself in. How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. So he resolves to do something about his condition. He goes on to say that I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he comes to himself. You might say he has a change of mind, a change of attitude, because of the condition that he's gotten himself in. He wants to remedy his condition. Who can remedy his condition? But only his Father. He recognizes that. He realizes that. Only God can fix the problem we get ourselves in with sin. Only God can make it better. That's what this young man recognized and realized. Why didn't he go to someone else? Why didn't he go to another faraway country? No, he recognizes and realizes in order to fix his situation, he's going to have to go back to his father. So he has a change of mind. He has a change of attitude. So he resolves to do this. Verse 20 tells us he returned to his father. That's repentance. He has a change of mind which results in a change of action for the better. Repentance is more than a change of mind. He could have resolved to do this and never gone back to his father, but he did go back to his father. Thus, it is true repentance. And repentance, of course, is necessary. Acts 17 and verse 30, Paul said, truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. So this man repents, and he does then return to his father. Luke 15 and in verse 20, and he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Note this, he arose and came to his father. So he had a change of mind, he had a change of attitude and disposition of heart because of the condition that he found himself in, and he wants to fix it. He repents. He goes to his father to do something about it. But note that. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him. God's always looking for us. Always looking for us to come back. He's always hoping that we'll come to our senses, that we'll come to ourselves and see the condition we've gotten ourselves in because of sin. So God is always looking for us, like this father was always looking for his son. And when he was still a great way off, his father saw him, and he had compassion on him. He had compassion on him. He had a heart filled with pity and compassion. He wanted to extend mercy to him. And as this young man inched toward his father, you know, when you draw an inch closer to God, what does God do? He draws a yard closer to you. So as this man walked closer to his father, what did the father do? He ran to him. And that's what God wants you to do. If you're like a lost son, if you've wrecked your life because of sin, inch closer to your father, he'll draw closer to you. Walk toward your father. He will run toward you. He's compassionate. He has grace and mercy in his heart. He seeks to forgive you and to restore you to a rightful place in his life. He ran and fell on his neck and he kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight. This young man had sinned against himself, perhaps sinned against others, had indeed sinned against his own father. But all the sin that we commit, we must recognize and realize that we sin first against God. We sin first against God, and it is His forgiveness that we need to seek. In Jeremiah 3 and in verse 12, God told Jeremiah, go and proclaim these words toward the north and say, return, backsliding Israel, says the Lord. I will not cause my anger to fall on you. For I am merciful, says the Lord. I will not remain angry forever. Only acknowledge your iniquity, that you have transgressed against the Lord your God, and have scattered your charms to the alien deities under the green tree. And you have not obeyed my voice, says the Lord. Return, O backsliding children, says the Lord, for I am married to you. I will take you, one from a city and two from a family, and I will bring you to Zion. Jeremiah writes, remember, to those who've been taken away into Babylonian captivity. They've been taken away because of their disobedience to God. He wants them to come back. He wants them to repent. And God says, I'm merciful. I'll take you back. I will take you back. When this young man came back to his father was filled with mercy and grace for him. Amen. And he received him back. He received him back. Luke 15 and verse 22. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Note that. The father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand. This young man thought that because he had sinned against his father, he ought to be considered like a hired servant now. Just make me one of your servants. Just take me back, but make me one of your servants. That's not what God does. God doesn't make you a slave or a servant. He treats you like a son. Even though this son had turned his back on his father, even though this son had treated his father as if his father was already dead, I want you to think about that. He asked for his inheritance while his father was still alive. Now, a father could give his inheritance away while he was still alive. It was his. He could do with whatever he wanted to with it. But usually one received their inheritance after the father has died. This young man had treated his father as if though he was dead. He wanted his inheritance now. But God still, when he returns, treats him like a son. Amen. Bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, because a signet ring from that family meant that he was a son. He belonged to that family. And put sandals on his feet. What's the significance of that? Well, he didn't have any sandals on his feet. No, because he had lost everything that he had. During this particular period of time, those who did not wear sandals were slaves. He's not being treated as a slave, even in the household. He's being treated as a son, one whom God loves and cares for. Bring out the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. During this particular period of time, families would set aside an animal that when someone of some significance came, they would kill and prepare a meal and serve that meat. If you visited with one and they didn't kill a fatted calf, it would tell you what they felt or how they felt about you. I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy enough. I'm not thought of enough to receive meat at this meal. But they killed the fatted calf. Everybody didn't get meat like this at a meal. This young man received the fatted calf. It was a time of rejoicing. It was a time of celebration. Because someone had come home that had been lost. This young man indeed was lost. He was dead spiritually. Verse 24, for this my son was dead. He was as good as dead to his father. He was indeed spiritually dead, separated from God by his sins. And note this, he is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Amen. Each of us at one time or another has been a lost son. Each of us at one time or another has wasted that which God has granted unto us by His mercy and grace. It might be our talents. It might be the wealth that we have. It might be some physical attribute that we have that could be used in service to God. It could be our family that we've wasted our relationship with them. It could be whatever in life that God has granted us, we've wasted it because God has given it to us and we've gone off away from God, wrecked our lives by sin. And so we each at a time in our life have been a lost son. We've all turned our back on God at one time or another. But we need to do like this young man, but do it before it is too late. He came to himself. You know, everybody doesn't do that. When some people wreck their lives by sin, they never come to their senses. Oh, sometimes they have guilt, and sometimes they're remorseful for what they have done, but they never repent. They're kind of like Judas. Remember, Judas was remorseful. He was sorrowful for what he had done, but he didn't come back to Christ. What did he do? He went out and hanged himself. Let's not do that. When we come to ourselves, let's repent and come back to God. That's what we need to do. Repent and come back to God. If you're still a lost son, why don't you come back this morning? If you're caught up in sin as a child of God, repent of that sin. Confess that sin. We'll pray with you and for you as we stand and sing the song that has been selected.